Good afternoon. It's time now for our trip on the wine road.
When you think about the history of California, you think of Buena Vista. This is where it started. So we had to put our best foot forward and the best collection we have ever.
What he accomplished in his short life is quite remarkable.
We definitely have a unique style here that's been passed on, but each generation has kind of added something, put their own little signature on it.
We want to make sure everyone knows that this is a lot of fun, but it's all going to help out the community.
Thanks for tuning in. Stick around and enjoy the ride. I'm Jeff Davis. Today I'll check in with the Battle of the Brews, the annual fundraiser presented by the Active 2030 Club, Santa Rosa No. 50, which took place last Saturday. After talking with Jared of the club, I'll fill you in on some of the winners of the competitions. I'll also revisit our trip to Dry Creek Valley and my conversation with Shelley Raffinelli, the fourth generation winemaker from Sonoma County's longtime winemaking family, A. Raffinelli. But first, we'll start off in Sonoma Valley at the historic Buena Vista Winery. This week, they unveiled a one-of-a-kind museum dedicated to the history of winemaking and its tools. The museum features a collection of rare 19th and 20th century European viticultural tools that are offered in a theatric presentation with narration, music, lighting, and movement. It's almost like being in a viticulture theme park exhibition. In a few minutes, I'll talk with Kyle Herasti, a descendant of the original owner, Augustin Herasti, about his role at the winery. But first, I spoke with owner Jean-Charles Boisset about the museum's spectacular collection and program. Now, I'm not surprised that this is his brainchild, as he is quite historically minded. But I asked him what inspired him to go to this level of excellence.
Well, you're the kindest. You know, excellence is hard to define, but at the same time, it's a place you always want to reach. And when you think about the history of California, you think of Buena Vista. This is where it started. So we had to put our best foot forward and the best collection we have ever. This man, Philippe Bérard, started this collection, you know, 50 years ago. He's collected over 20,000 different tools from different era and different techniques of vineyards all the way to winemaking. So we had to put them in motion in a very cool show. It's no more than 19 minutes, so it's very manageable for everybody, specifically when you have a glass of wine. And the idea is to inspire people about wine, but more importantly, about an era, about a period, and to really make it very aspirational as well. Not only inspirational, but aspirational as far as discovering what is behind agriculture, what is behind organic, sustainability, France, California, and this region.
And what everyone had to go through to make such wonderful wine back centuries ago. And yes, when you see these tools that are rudimentary, it's amazing that they were able to stick with it and put forth the effort to make some wine.
That's right. Thank you for noticing that as well, because when you look at the beauty of those tools, they're pieces of art. I mean, this is now our living room at Buena Vista. So we're going to have, as you can see here, plenty of dinners set up.
It's a beautiful table.
Thank you. And that's what we call the Count's table. So it's going to be right in the middle, and you're going to have all those chairs so people can sit and watch the museum of the show. Is to represent tools as a piece of art. You know, crafting a vineyard is an art form. Making wine is artistic. Those tools are artistic when you look at them. And look at this panel, how beautiful it is. Look at that one.
Yeah.
You would want to put a frame around this, have it in your living room.
Yeah, it's very artistic that we have it displayed.
Look at the serpe here.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. So it could be a chandelier with micro lights in it. And that's the whole idea, is people to be constantly engaged into what they see, what they imagine, how they imagine it is to cultivate a vineyards, make wines, and more importantly, the world we live in today, which is the 21st, almost 22nd century.
To give our listeners an idea of how these tools look hanging on the walls, you feel like you're in the props room of Game of Thrones.
That's right.
Or any medieval drama with the axes, sickles, pitchforks. Some look quite dangerous, yet it was all for viticulture.
All for viticulture. All for viticulture, winemaking, barrel making, and obviously every work which is ancillary to wine, which is necessary to the wine world to function. So we're so pleased to be able to bring that sense of culture to the United States and specifically to Buena Vista. This is the first of its kind. And we want to attract the world. This is why the price point is so low. $25 to come and tour it with the tasting.
With the tasting.
So we want to make sure that everybody comes and sees it and gets something out of it. And hopefully instead of drinking just one glass a week, drinks four glasses a week, or one glass a day, and gets within the wine world.
And this is family friendly too.
Oh, absolutely.
Bring your kids.
Well, my daughters, you know, there are 3 and a half twin girls.
The ladies.
The ladies spend probably almost 15 hours in here and they love it. You know, today I wanted this event to be very focused, so I did not tell them to come because they would have been agitated in a way. But you'll see them many times, and they love to come, and they have a lot of ideas, and they react to certain things, which helped me as well to choreograph this whole thing into what it is today.
Do you know how many pieces are in here?
We have 1,500 in the U.S., okay. Yes. Our total collection is 15,000.
Well, Jean-Charles, you continue to revitalize the winery while respecting its place in history. And this dramatic show is quite an achievement. Congratulations.
Well, you're the kindest, and you're welcome. You are welcome any day, and I hope we could do a show where we taste the wines, when we tour the winery, when we do a bubble tasting as well downstairs where we work. Because all those places are so unique and important to the history of what the state is all about. And you want to convey history, so.
Right. Excellent.
Thank you.
He's always a pleasure to talk with, Jean-Charles Boisset. The Buena Vista Historic Wine Tool Museum is now open. As you heard, it's $25, which includes a wine tasting. You can get more details, get a glimpse of the room, and make a reservation in advance at BuenaVistaWinery.com. During the evening, I met Kyle Horasty, a distant relative of the self-proclaimed Count, the flamboyant founder of Buena Vista Winery. For the interview, I met Kyle atop Moon Mountain in Sonoma Valley, one of the newest AVAs in Northern California. It was breezy, so you'll hear the wind blowing. We spoke the edge of some of the oldest Zinfandel vines as part of the Monte Rosso vineyard. Buena Vista and Gallo are among those who utilize the grapes from that famed vineyard.
Yeah, many people pull from this vineyard. The Gallo family owns it currently. Buena Vista, our private reserve Cabernet, most of it comes from the Monte Rosso vineyard. We also have a few other blends. The Aristocrat has quite a bit of the Monte Rosso Cabernet and Zinfandel in it as well. And we're really proud to be able to say that we have some Monte Rosso fruit. Being from Sonoma, it is certainly considered Sonoma's finest, one of Sonoma's finest vineyards.
So let's talk about the Count.
All right.
Augustine Horasty. He referred to himself as the Count. Immigrated from Europe and followed the 49ers out here to Northern California, looking for the perfect place to grow some exceptional wine. Now, in the early days of Buena Vista Winery, there was a committed farmer, an experimental innovator and vintner, a respected author, a shrewd businessman, a brilliant and incredibly zealous promoter, and they were all wrapped up into him.
Yeah, no kidding. A very dynamic man. Traveled extensively throughout America, and I feel like a lot of his experiences in his life really allowed him to become the aristocrat and the count that he eventually evolved into his late 30s, early 40s. Very dynamic character, and what he accomplished in his short life is quite remarkable.
He was a sheriff, too, wasn't he, at one point down in San Diego?
Yeah, he is the first sheriff of San Diego. In the early 40s, he migrated from Sauk City, Wisconsin, which he helped found, to San Diego and helped establish that city. It was at that time part of Baja, Mexico, and was the first sheriff of that city.
Interesting. Yeah. Hence the sheriff brand you have now.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our favorites, big, rich, burly blend. We're very proud of the sheriff.
Now, apparently quite the adventurer. I understand he died in 1869 in crocodile-infested waters in a jungle in Nicaragua. So, an unfortunate ending, but man, quite the restless soul in search of the next adventure.
Yeah, you know, when a few things went south for him in California, he headed south on the adventure of the rest of the end of his lifetime to Nicaragua to make rum from sugar cane, which was which he thought was going to be a very lucrative business venture as well. Unfortunately, one day, crossing the wrong creek, infested with crocodiles, and they never found his body, so they assume that that's what happened to him.
I'm surprised there's not a story out there that he showed up somewhere many years later wearing crocodile boots, you know. Or...
I'd like to think he's, you know, feasting with Amazonian tribes on alligators instead of the other way around.
So over the years, the winery changed hands a number of times, even sat dormant for like 20 years, and Before I get into the current ownership, the Count Augustin Heresti was inducted into the Culinary Institute of America's Vintners Hall of Fame, so he did get some credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And my father actually accepted that honor on behalf of Augustin Heresti, and he had a pretty good speech about it. That was a great honor for certainly my family that is currently here, and I'm sure a great honor for Augustin's legacy as well. That will certainly be there for the rest of time. We're really proud of that.
Now the Boisse family estate owns the winery. They purchased it in 2011, and then like a resurrection, Kyle Heresti shows up to work at the winery.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to be at Buena Vista. With my family lineage, obviously, that's a huge connection. But with the history of Buena Vista, in the last 15 years, it's gone through a lot of ups and downs. And under the ownership of Jean-Charles Boisse, there has been no shortcuts taken. He has put a lot of resources into making sure that the historical significance of the winery is intact, as well as the quality of the wines that make a winery important. And people want to visit wineries that are not only, you know, historic and beautiful, but also provide delicious wines. And we're really, really excited about the quality of the wines we're making right now.
And your family must be thrilled that you're working there.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife, maybe more than anybody else, because she enjoys the bounties of my profession. My father, he was nearly brought to tears. Us Hungarian Americans were very emotional men. So he was really, really proud of me. And I have had experience selling wine before, but certainly nothing that I'm this passionate about.
I imagine it's in your blood, more or less.
No kidding. Yeah, I joke sometimes that my blood type is Zinfandel.
Well, I asked you once what you wanted to be referred to, since the Count has already been taken. Yeah. I think I suggested the Duke, but what did you say?
Yeah, I'm down with the Duke. That sounds cool. Yeah, why don't we go with the Duke?
It's kind of like the dude, you know.
Yeah.
It's the historical dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Drop the K. What's out of D? The dude. I prefer the dude.
Well, good luck purchasing the winery from Jean-Charles Boisse someday.
Yeah, we'll see. He's put a lot of his resources into it. And that's another thing that I really do appreciate about what he has done, because a lot of the previous owners, I feel like they didn't really put the energy and resources that they probably could have to keep the winery and to make it into what it is now. And I can tell, walking around and being a part of it, that Jean-Charles has no interest in selling the property. And I'm really excited to be a part of it, because he wants the property to be part of California's wine legacy. And he has done what maybe other people could have done, but for one reason or another didn't. And thank God for that, because, you know, our earthquake that we recently experienced here, without the renovations that he put a lot of his resources into, he saved that building, as far as I'm concerned. And right. It's an important building for me, but also for the entire history of California, certainly Sonoma. And, you know, with all of the opportunity that we have inside the Champagne Cellars, with the museum opening up, also weddings being able to take place. I was fortunate enough to be married there. My parents were married there. So the legacy is strong, and we're certainly going to be, moving forward. If for any reason Jean-Charles wanted to sell it to me, he'd probably have to take a severe price cut.
Congratulations on nailing the position.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jeff. I really, really appreciate it. It's exciting, and I hope that I can make Augustin Heresti proud.
The Duke.
Yeah, the dude.
I think it's quite amazing that a Heresti is back at the Buena Vista Winery after so much turnover and change throughout its 158 years. And now it's thriving, with much credit to the Boisse family estate. It's time for a break, and when I return, we'll change the subject and talk beer. A battle of the brews was held last weekend in Santa Rosa. We'll find out who some of the winners were when On the Wine Road continues.